This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let's look on the bright side here. At least there's tons of quarterback intrigue. You know, even if the Steelers don't have a guy right now, that's the bad news. You want to have a guy, even though Mike Tomlin says every year he wants to have competition at every position. He doesn't, nor does anybody else in the NFL when it comes to quarterback. You want to have a guy unopposed who's elite and a franchise player who's going to give you a chance to win every single year. That's what you get. That's what they had with Ben. They didn't do a whole lot of playoff winning later on in his career, but every season they went into with Ben, you knew you had a chance. You knew you did. And there are a bunch of teams in the NFL right now that know going into next season, we have a chance to win the Super Bowl. I'll start from the top. The Bills know they have a chance. The Ravens know. The Bengals know. The Texans know. The Chiefs, maybe the Chargers, maybe the Broncos know. That's a lot of teams in the AFC who have no competition at their quarterback spot. None. The Eagles, the Commanders, maybe the Lions and Packers. Looks like the Rams for at least another year. Fewer teams in the NFC for sure, but still a lot of teams that aren't the Steelers. But from our perspective, which is talk radio, and yours, which is talk, you know, around the water cooler, in the bar, wherever you might be, at least we do have something to talk about here. And there's nothing juicier than quarterback intrigue, and there's plenty of it. And one of the questions is, are they going to draft a guy? Are they going to surprise us and draft a guy? And nobody knows, just like very few people had them taking Kenny Pickett. By the time the draft rolled around, we were told in some circles they had zero interest in Kenny Pickett. None. Eyes only for Malik Willis at that point. Well, what happened? They drafted Pickett. Last year, at this very time, I don't think any of us were suspecting that they were going to nuke the quarterback room and bring in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and UPS our friend Kenny across the state. I don't think so. So I think anything goes here as far as speculation. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they drafted a quarterback. How could we be? What if they lose out on both Wilson and Fields, if you consider that to be losing? Of course they could draft a quarterback. Might they draft one in the first round? Why not? Of course they could. Not predicting that, but of course it could happen. And that leads to the obvious question of who. Now, it's generally, up to this point anyway, believed that Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders are the top two quarterbacks in this draft. Ward, I think everybody feels like is going to go very, very early. 1, 2, 3 type thing. Somebody might trade up and do it, whatever. Somebody in that position might do it. Sanders has generally been regarded as the definitive number two guy who could go in the top 5 or 10. I think it was generally believed that, but Dane Brugler, our guy from The Athletic, wonderful man, isn't he, Limits?
Yes.
Tell us what he's saying about Shador right now.
In his mock draft, he says that Shador Sanders is going to be a wild card in this draft. He could go in the top six or fall out of the first round entirely, and neither outcome would be a shock. He also says that Sanders is not a first-round quarterback for a lot of NFL teams, which isn't a major surprise, and it matches Brugler's evaluation. But all it takes is one front office to roll the dice on his skill set. If Sanders falls out of the top 10, this would be an interesting landing spot with guess who? Your Pittsburgh Steelers at 21.
Now that's good intrigue. It really is. And for as much as people mock drafts, it's just sort of a general idea of what's going to happen and who's going to get taken where. And for the most part, they're right. Not with the exact teams, but it's not like the actual draft is like wildly different from where people mocked guys to go. There's always exceptions. But generally speaking, it's generally accurate. And now I'm reading something here on Yahoo.com where post-combine NFL mocks have Shador Sanders slipping out of round one. And that includes people that I respect greatly, like Lance Zierlein from NFL Media. Pro Football Focus has the same thing. In the Zierlein mock, he's got the Browns going back into the first round to get Sanders. I am highly intrigued by this limits. What would you do if this guy's on the board when the Steelers step to the table? Would you? It has to be on your mind or on their mind, right?
I would say thanks, but no thanks. Not interested. And, you know, I worry about some of the accuracy concerns with Shador Sanders. He's a very confident player. Some of that confidence, I think, kind of becomes some arrogance, too. And that is a little bit of a red flag that you're getting with him.
Don't you get that with every athlete who's any good? You get a competitive arrogance. His completion limits. You said his accuracy. He completed 74% of his passes this year. 74%.
I think we're talking about more so the bigger games that they played in some of those, you know, key ranked matchups that I don't have currently in front of me, but I'm pulling up now.
I mean, that is a high percentage, and they always say if there's one stat that tends to translate from college to the NFL, for better or worse, I might add, it's completion percentage, your accuracy. He had 37 touchdowns and completed 74% of his passes. I think there are some other questions. I don't worry about, you know, the personality here. I don't. I think everybody who comes into the league, especially at that position, you better have an athletic arrogance to you. I think that's actually a good trait. But there are, I think, some other things you might worry about. You got that in front of you?
Yeah, like the Nebraska game.
You're waving to me and you're making me nervous.
Nebraska 23-38 overall, so 61% completion percentage, right around there. When they lost to Kansas State, he was solid, 3 touchdowns and a pick. He threw 2 picks in a win that they had against Arizona. The interceptions are kind of concerning to me. The Kansas game, he just was good accuracy-wise, but they lost 37-21. Decision-making, kind of sporadic depending on the game. BYU, the game that they lost in the Alamo Bowl, he was just kind of okay. 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, did complete 70% of his passes, but at the same time, like, what types of passes are these? He completed 16 passes for 208 yards. When I watched Shador Sanders, he had a quarterback rating in that game of 18. It doesn't scream NFL quarterback to me. It just does not.
Well, maybe that's why he's dropping. But in terms of arm strength and accuracy, man. And when I saw him, he seemed to have a very cool demeanor. I thought he was a really poised guy out there. Now, is he the type of two-way threat that you would want? I don't know about that. I don't think anybody considers him a great runner in his career. He's got minus 127 yards. I'm no football analyst at the deepest sense, but if you have minus 127 yards in your career, I don't think you're a great runner.
No, I would say not.
And I realize that sacks are taken into effect there. So are you getting, you're not really getting a dual threat guy here. certainly not at any kind of elite level, but I'm more concerned about the passing part of it myself. And I would at least be intrigued. I might be with you that I wouldn't take him, but I would be intrigued. That's certainly a development, wouldn't you say? That people are now looking at Sanders and saying, this is a guy that might slip out of the first round entirely.
It's not something that I at all saw coming. The whole first round? Like, the Steelers would have to do their due diligence with it. Like, there's no denying that. You have to see, you know, what you think of Shedeur Sanders, and will Deion be any bit of a part of that and where he ultimately lands? I heard that some people ultimately wanted to talk to Deion too at times when he was, when Shedeur was being interviewed. I thought that that was interesting. And, you know, the Steelers just have to do their due diligence with all these guys. It's maybe not Cam Ward because he's not going to be available, but can you be convinced that Shedeur Sanders could be the guy? It's a hard sell. I'm not one that would think so, but I could understand why you would.
Now, there are a few, I'm reading out of sportskeeda.com, a few trains of thought, they say, that Sanders tanked his draft stock or knows that a team is going to draft him already, draft him higher than other teams he met with. Like, did he work out yet? Did he have a pro day yet?
No.
Okay.
And he did not work out at the combine.
And he didn't work out at the combine. And they say one of the reasons he didn't throw at the combine was having a performance like Ohio State quarterback Will Howard did, throwing to wide receivers with no chemistry that could result in, you know, a tough looking performance, right? So maybe things could change with his pro day at Colorado. Either way, whether we think he's a Steelers guy or not, he's a really talented kid who walked into Colorado and I thought played really well. For the most part, Todd McShay said he heard from two teams in the top 10 who are looking to draft a QB that left their 15-minute meeting feeling as if Shedeur Sanders, quote, did not care too much what they or the organization felt of him. How about that? Limits, where are you?
Making calls on the topic.
Did you hear McShay there?
Please repeat.
He said that two top 10 teams who need a quarterback left their 15-minute meeting with Sanders saying he, quote, did not care too much what they or the organization felt of him.
Yep, not interested. There's that arrogance that I was kind of talking about. I don't know
if that's fair. Where have you gotten the impression that he's unduly arrogant, more arrogant than others?
Well, I mean, I think there's more cockiness on the field with the Rolex watches and him talking about when they were saying with Colorado and NIL deals, there was a social media video that was going on, and Deion was trying to pump up all the players and, you know, say about next year and we're building towards this and that, and Shedeur was basically saying on camera, like looking at the camera, yeah, I'm not coming back next year. And it's just like, come on, man.
Is that different than Baker Mayfield planting flags in the middle of people's fields and doing the stuff all he did?
No, Baker was arrogant too coming out of
school. You have to be arrogant. They all are to some degree.
To some degree.
Joe Burrow smoking cigars in the locker room. I mean, if you're going to play that position, you better have a healthy athletic arrogance about you, I think, anyway.
Well, I think there's a difference between having confidence and arrogance. Like, I didn't think that anything that Joe Burrow did, you know, really spewed out arrogance. Baker, arrogant. Burrow, confident, I think. Same thing with Josh Allen, I think, confident.
Well, maybe teams do feel like there is some type of problem there. If what McShay is saying, if he went into these 15-minute meetings and didn't make a good impression, although maybe, as that story said, maybe he already knows that somebody's going to take him. Maybe he already knows that, so he didn't give a crap about these other organizations. But this just builds the intrigue. And so does my man, the dart thrower. Let's hear from Mike Mayock, and everybody laughs now when they hear that name because of what happened with Antonio Brown and his frozen feet and what happened with the Raiders. I still respect Mike Mayock as a talent evaluator. I do when it comes to the draft, even though some of his picks with the Raiders weren't great. I get that. This is what he had to say about my friend and yours, Jackson Dart, and he would be the riser in this draft.
Let's just say both Dart, Shuck, anybody else who you might be able to be, who might be able to fit in, is available at 21 and the Steelers are on the clock. What do you think, Mike?
I think that Pittsburgh could look at a Jackson Dart and say, with what he does well, and we marry him to a run game and a defense, and we might have a situation that's similar to what we saw in Denver last year. And this is a talented kid. Really, he can spin it. I looked at him against Alabama in 23, and I think it was LSU last year. Those, amongst other games,
Preach,
he got sacked
yuck.
11 times Preach. In those two games. Took a beating, hung in there, made a bunch of throws, but on throws over 21 yards in those two games, he was 2 for 16, okay? And a lot of it was he was taking a beating, and his receivers couldn't win one-on-one. So it's really, there's two sides to every story here, and you got to get the fit. And could Pittsburgh pull a trigger there? Sure. But I'm nowhere near ready to say that Tyler Shuck is ready to go at 21 or anybody else in the draft. The way it looks to me today, Rich, is I think three could go in the first round, and I don't see a fourth yet.
And Jackson Dart would be the third. I told you limits. There's people that are high on this kid.
I didn't deny that, but I'm denying that the Steelers should take him or not. No.
Well, yeah, that's, and I respect that opinion, and that's Bob's opinion as well. I'm becoming more intrigued with this kid by the day. We might have a new train. Oh, yeah. It's the Trubisky
Dart.
Train.
There was no doubt about it.
I'm telling you, man, who else compared him to Jalen Hurts? Somebody else did that the other day. Did you see that?
I did. And
Was it McShay? Somebody else compared him to Jalen Hurts.
Mayock compared him.
And now I can't remember who, and I'm very angry about that.
Mike Mayock with Rich Eisen compared him to Shedeur Sanders. How about that?
I think Jackson Dart is saying, wait a minute, what about me? I'm a first-round guy, and he potentially could be, Rich. And I think he's really similar to Shedeur Sanders with the things they do well. I think they both throw with anticipation. I think they throw with timing, and they throw with accuracy. Neither of them is a dynamic athlete, yet they can make you miss and maneuver in the pocket. Both of them have to win with anticipation and pocket mechanics.
There you go. And I have another little treat for you here that I'm also having trouble finding. There's a guy in Cleveland, by the way, who thinks the Steelers are trying to hide their interest in Jackson Dart. And I would add, much the way they did with Kenny Pickett, where they threw some reporters, some breadcrumbs on the wrong trail there. Do you remember that? Limitless Wonder?
Yes.
Did you see what Shady McCoy said about Justin Fields?
No.
Listen to this. This was on FS1. He thinks that choosing Fields over Wilson would be, quote, crazy. Here's the quote. Why would you be keeping Fields other than to make him a backup or give him a clipboard or give him a package to run the ball here or there? He can't play, can't throw, he don't win. Explain to me from a good franchise and a good coach, why the hell would we keep him? That's what Shady McCoy said about Fields.
That's a huge indictment.
I'm thinking about who's scouting these guys, and I think Andy Weidel is obviously one of them. And maybe he sees a Jalen Hurts comparison here. Because the one thing you get with Jackson Dart that you don't get so much with Shedeur is the running element, which we know is important to Mike Tomlin, right?
Right. If what the Arthur Smith offense is what they want it to be, like with Ryan Tannehill and I guess Marcus Mariota, maybe, then you would rather have Fields over Wilson, at least. And I'm sure the conversations for Artie Smith is also, hey, I don't really get along with Russ. Please give me Justin Fields or the field.
Right. Daniel Jeremiah is the guy. Speaking on NFL Network, said the comparison I have for Dart, and it took some people off guard, Jeremiah said. He's a former NFL scout himself. But I talked about Jalen Hurts just in terms of the build, how the ball comes out of their hand. Mayock said the same thing. He can spin it, limits.
That's right, and I found it. Here's DJ on the NFL Network.
With Jackson Dart, I was talking about him the other day and the comparison that I had. They took some people off guard, but I talked about Jalen Hurts just in terms of the build, how the ball comes out of their hand, guys that have gotten better each and every year in college, and here we look at them side by side. Just
I know Jalen Hurts ran the ball more, but Jackson Dart was successful running the ball in the SEC. He is very athletic. There's something to this one to me. Guys, I think are just going to keep getting better.
I would urge people to go home and watch some Jackson Dart for yourself. Have a little dart game for yourself. I got a couple tweets yesterday saying, if you think Jackson Dart is going to be a star, you've never seen him play, you're crazy. I get that, but there's enough people now of some repute who are saying that this kid is rising in the draft and is talented enough to be a first rounder, has all the skills, that I feel very confident that when I'm watching highlights of this kid, and some lowlights, I might add, I can see a little bit of Bo Nix there. That would be my other comparison. We talked about Field Yates from ESPN. He thinks Dart could sneak his way into the first round. He said he's got a ton of experience. Great athlete, can throw on the run as well. It's going to be a transition because the offense he played at Ole Miss doesn't look like a lot of NFL offenses. But he said when you combine the athleticism and accuracy, Field Yates says, I do think there's a chance by the time it's all said and done, he sneaks into the first round. I had him going 21st to the Steelers. This is intrigue, Limits. It's true intrigue. And I'm on the Jackson Dart train. Would you join me at some point?
Not yet. And I will throw some caution in the wind that Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett, Zach Wilson, Josh Rosen, and others also had a lot of great flashy moments on tape that they showed. So
I know.
Just want to pump the brakes a little bit before we go full on dart train.
I don't want to pump the great brakes. I don't want to. I don't want to pump any brakes. I want to talk about him as Jalen Hurts, and I want the Steelers to draft him.
Ah, yes, MVP.
I'd rather have something I don't know than something I do, and I feel like Justin Fields I know. Although I wouldn't object to both of them. Fields in pole position with Jackson Dart learning. I just feel like, and maybe this is the wrong way to think about this, I feel like I want something I don't yet know and can't quantify that has a huge upside. And yeah, I'll probably be disappointed, but I feel like I want that more than something I already know.
I agree with you on that. I just don't think that this is the time to do it. And I don't think that their desperation for needing a quarterback should be what goes to the forefront. And I mean, that's what they did when they drafted Pickett. They were desperate after Ben retired.
This kid's better than Pickett.
I'm not saying
he's better than Pickett.
I'm not saying
better
that.
Arm strength. And I think he's more mobile than Pickett, but I could be wrong about that too. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. 50-minute mark on the fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. A man named Charles has tweeted me, and I quote, I went to Ole Miss and live and breathe Ole Miss football. Dart would be a project, but he has serious potential. My concern is the Steelers' inability to develop. That's a legitimate concern, overriding all of this. And I got a bunch of questions in the mailbag about this, too. Like, they could draft Peyton Manning, or they could draft Eli out of Ole Miss. Would they, or bring in anybody? Would they be able to develop a guy with the current regime? Would they get the most out of a veteran guy, given Mike Tomlin's resistance to letting these people change things at the line of scrimmage before the snap when games are won and lost? These are all legitimate questions, aren't they?
Very much. Like, it's a question that I had. Remember, you know how much I like Sam Darnold, but I would be concerned if the Steelers decided to bring Darnold in here that their offense just would not fit his skill set at all. Wouldn't
it seems to me, one could make this case anyway, that the best quarterbacking they've received in the last 5-6 years or so is Ben burning Matt Canada's playbook when they fell behind in games and drawing things in the dirt, and Russ cooking on his own. I think that's actually legitimate.
Yeah, and whatever they did against Washington worked pretty well. It seemed like that was just go to the line and no huddle offense and Russ call it out. Here we go.
That was Russ cooking, maybe. It depends on what you believe here. Certainly, we have enough evidence that late in the Ben years, when once Canada arrived, the only thing that worked was Ben saying, forget this, I'll just do it on my own. thank you. And they would make amazing comebacks like they did in Minnesota that night. Remember when the pass to Freiermuth at the end? Remember that game? Depending on how you look at it, he either dropped it or was a great defensive play. Remember that, Limits.
Remember when Chase Claypool signaled first down in Minnesota with 24 seconds left or whatever, and they couldn't get back to the line in time? It just burns more time off the clock.
He channeled his inner Rosie Nix for that one.
That's right, in New Orleans.
Oh, was that tremendous.
Wasn't that the fake punt?
Yeah, they were like 5 yards short, and he's signaling first down and celebrating. You tell me Devontae Adams is now on the open market?
The New York Jets are cutting Devontae Adams at his $36 million salary.
Holy horse milk. He's a guy that can still play. I don't care how old he is. He's 32. It's not like he's ancient. And he just turned 32. And he played for crap teams with crap quarterbacks last year. And the dude combined for like 85 catches and over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns. Yes, I'm interested in Devontae Adams. He plays most of the games, too. The last 4 years, 16, 17, 17. Last year down to 14. I'll take that. Yes. I'm also interested in George Pickens. Man, Devontae Adams. He's a Hall of Famer, isn't he?
Yeah, he still can play. I mean, he was good for the Raiders. Everybody just kind of forgot.
Look at some of his numbers, Limits. He said years of 18 touchdowns. That's not many guys have had more than that in a season. He's had years of 1,300, 1,300, 1,500, 1,500, 1,100. This guy's got 103 touchdowns, and he's closing in on 12,000 yards. He might have about 5 years left. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He needs 63 catches for 1,000. Maybe they can run a little shotgun pitch like they did with Hines for his 1,000th catch.
For a negative 3 yard loss? I don't know about that.
Negative 3 yard loss is redundant.
Yeah, it is.
City Limits. I'm should have said negative 3 yards or a 3 yard loss.
Thank you for being the grammar police for me.
You're welcome. You know how I feel about you. You're a hell of a man.
You're an even better man. And thank you for being an inspiration to many, including myself.
Darius Slay is out there, too. I was listening to Crowley today, and he actually made sense. I think they should go get Darius Slay. You?
Yeah, I'd be fine with it. I think he has 1 year left. Why not? You know, it would be different than like a Joe Hayden deal when he had time left.
Yes, as Crowley pointed out, do we talk enough that their corner play was, by some objective or by some measurements, awful? As he said, and I quote Mr. Crowley, PFF is not the be-all, end-all, but it's a tool to use for sure. And they both had failing grades, Dante Jackson and Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah, Dante Jackson.
They need an upgrade.
He had a couple picks, but other than that, he really didn't do much.
Thank you, Limits. You're a wonderful man. I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Bob will be here, but tomorrow. Bye.